Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? We are in Romans 10 today, and it's about 7 days to bomb Sunday, a couple of weeks to Easter. So I really love this chapter, but let me ask Nicole if she doesn't mind reading, and we'll pray and jump in. This is a very deep chapter this morning, so we're going to jump deep into this. So, Nicole, if you don't mind, we are in Romans 10.
Good morning, Romans 10. I'm reading from the NIV version. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Well, of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and an obstinate people.
Thank you so much, Colt. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We pray that as we look into it, Father, you would give us insight and you would give us wisdom, and more than that, give us application and truth to live out this day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we have some deep writing here by Paul. I want to start by looking at the significance of some critical words here. Before I do that, we can obviously see that Paul's primary audience, as he writes this, is thinking about Israel. He's thinking about the people of Israel. But he goes on to say that this message is for everyone. And so, as we look through this chapter, I want to make sure we understand some key terms, which I think is beneficial to our belief system. So, the first word he uses here, one of the first words is righteousness. So, righteousness is what we need to stand before God and be accepted by Him. But it's something we can't achieve on our own. It comes through, excuse me, it comes through faith in Christ. Okay, so is a fancy word here. It's called imputed righteousness. It means that the perfect righteousness of Jesus is credited to us and we put our faith in him. So the word impute simply means to credit to someone's account. So here's the incredible thing that happened. So Jesus takes our sin, though, even though he had never sinned, right? He was sinless. And when he does that, we receive his righteousness, even though we had none. Right? So believing in Jesus as our savior, before salvation, I have a spiritual bank account that's completely overdrawn. It's deep in the red. And Jesus, who has infinite spiritual wealth or righteousness, transfers that balance to our account. Now, suddenly, our account is not out of debt, it's overflowing with its perfection. Isn't that incredible? That's what imputed righteousness is. What does that mean for me and you? I'm going to say this many times today. You don't have to earn God's approval. It's already yours in Christ. It's not something we can earn. When God sees me and you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. Your identity, my identity, is secure not because of our performance, but it's based on his perfection. Okay? So, imputed righteousness is Christ's righteousness credit to us, giving us legal standing. Okay, so now there's a second word here, which is imparted righteousness. So Christ's righteousness, which is worked out in us in daily living, is imparted righteousness, right? So both are part of salvation, but they serve different roles. Okay, so now there's a second word that links this all together, which is justification. Now, justification is a declaration from God that because of your faith in Christ, you are not guilty anymore and you're seen as righteous in his sight. So, justification is a one-time declaration saying you are not guilty, you are righteous. It happens at the moment you believe in Jesus, at the moment of salvation. And what is salvation? Salvation is the rescue from sin and its eternal consequences given to all of us who call on the name of the Lord by faith. Okay? So you don't become righteous by behavior. You're declared righteous because Jesus' perfect life is imputed to us. Think about a courtroom, right? God is the judge. He slams the gavel and says, righteous because of Jesus. Okay, Romans 4:5 says, to the one who does not work but trust God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. Okay, so we were talking about the second part, which is the lifelong practice, right? And there's a third word we're going to talk about, which is sanctification. Sanctification is the lifelong process of becoming more like Jesus. It will never be Jesus, right? But we strive to become like Jesus. That happens through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to grow in holiness, to grow in character and obedience, right? So you're not earning salvation. You're learning to live like someone who's already saved. Let me say that again. You're not earning salvation. You're learning to live like someone who's already saved. Yeah, Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. We still okay, still tracking with me? A little bit of theology there. Okay, so let's look at these two concepts side by side. I think this will help us out. So if I put imputed righteousness on the left and imparted righteousness on the right, I'm going to give you a list of comparisons under the two headings, imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. So imputed righteousness is given by God at salvation. Imparted righteousness is grown by the Spirit over time. Imputed righteousness is our position in Christ. Imparted righteousness is our progress in Christ. Excuse me. Imputed righteousness is instant and complete. Imparted righteousness is gradual and lifelong. Imputed righteousness is rooted in justification, right? Just as if I never sinned. And imparted righteousness is rooted in sanctification, which is that process of growing to become more like Jesus for the rest of our lives. Imputed righteousness secures our standing. Imparted righteousness shapes our living. Okay, so why does it matter? Well, if you only focus on imputed righteousness, we might get complacent, thinking we don't need to grow. If I only focus on imparted righteousness, I might get discouraged, thinking that I'm not good enough. That's not true. But together, you rest in what Christ has done, and you respond by living in his strength. Make sense? So in Romans 10, Paul is stressing that salvation, righteousness, justification all come through faith in Jesus Christ and not through human effort or the works of the law, right? This is the core message of the gospel. By trusting in Jesus, anyone can be made right with God and receive eternal life. That's something to celebrate. Okay. All right, so let's look a little deeper at verses 1 through 4. So we see that Paul has a deep desire and prayer, and his prayer is for the salvation of his fellow Israelites. Even though many of them have rejected Christ, he's not giving up on them. So here's the application question I have with that first verse. Am I carrying the same burden and hope for the salvation of others, especially those close to me? So ask yourself today, who am I praying for? Who breaks my heart spiritually? Who's that person or persons that the Holy Spirit is calling to mind today? Okay. In verse 2, excuse me, I'm getting over something. Paul says that zeal without truth can lead us astray. So Paul recognizes their zeal for God, but says that it lacks the right foundation. So passion is not the same as the truth, right? They were sincere, but sincerely wrong. They were missing the fact that Jesus was the only way of salvation. So in Romans 10, zeal is highlighted as a strong and passionate desire for righteousness. And Paul shows that without the knowledge of God's righteousness through faith in Jesus, zeal can miss the mark. So the call is to have zeal that is rooted in truth, and directed by the gospel. So what's the big idea here? Is sincerity doesn't equal salvation. We need zeal anchored in truth, which is the fact that we are saved by faith. Okay. In verse 3, Paul says, let me just scroll. Self-righteousness gets in the way. They were sorted, since they did not know the righteousness of God, they sought to establish their own. So self-righteousness gets in the way. Israel tried to establish their righteousness by how? By keeping the law, by works, by performance. But in doing that, they missed God's way of making people righteous, which is through faith in Jesus. So I'm going to say this again. I think I've said it maybe twice already. We can't earn our way to God. When we try, we actually resist His grace, right? It comes through faith in Jesus. Okay, verse 4. Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So the law was never meant to be a ladder to climb, but rather something that points to our need for Jesus. So Jesus is the culmination or the end of the law. Jesus fulfilled the purposes of the law. So the law leads us to Christ. Jesus is the only way to be made right with God for everyone who believes, not just Jews, right? For everyone. Okay, let's summarize these first four verses here. So, passion for God must be rooted in the truth, right? We must know God's word and his character deeply. We cannot earn righteousness, so we should stop striving and start trusting. Christ is the end of the law. We should rest in Jesus, not in religious effort. And then pray matters, right? So we should keep praying for those who are far from Jesus. So again, a little reflection question here. Excuse me. Who in your life are you consistently praying for to come to know Jesus? And then how can you keep that person on your heart this week? Okay, so let's jump into verses 5 through 13. So there's a contrast here. So Paul contrasts two ways that people have tried to become right with God. So verse 5 talks about righteousness by the law. And then verses 6 through 13 talk about righteousness by faith. So first thing, we recognize that righteousness by the law is not possible. Right? Moses writes about the righteousness that is by the law. He says, the person who does these things will live by them. And Paul's quoting Leviticus 18:5 to show that the law demands perfect obedience, but the problem is no one can live up to that standard, which is why salvation can't come through works. Righteousness in verses 6 or 8, righteousness by faith is available and accessible. Okay, so he says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep. So Paul's quoting from Deuteronomy 30 here saying, you don't have to go on some impossible quest to find salvation. Christ has already come down, right? Christ has already been incarnate and risen, resurrected. So salvation comes through confession and belief. So verses 9 and 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Excuse me. So two key responses to the gospel: confess, right, Jesus as Lord, It's the a declaration of allegiance and faith, and then believe in his resurrection. So trust in his victory and his power. And again, salvation isn't earned, it's received through faith. Verses 11 through 13 is really about who is this for? Our salvation is for everyone who believes. Okay, so everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right, Paul emphasizes that this is for everyone. There's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. All right, salvation is offered to everyone who calls on his name. Okay, let's do a few, a bit of a summary of this section. You can't earn salvation through performance or keeping rules, right? Faith makes salvation accessible to everyone. There's no striving, no ladders to climb. Excuse me. Salvation is simple and profound. We have to what? Do two things, right? Confess and believe. And the gospel is for everyone, no exceptions. Okay, so here's a application question for you. Who is someone you can pray for who hasn't yet called on the name of the Lord? All right, we should have those names in our mind. We should be making a list of people. Okay. Verses 14 and 15. Let me just do this. It says, how then, and they call on the one they have not believed in, and how can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Okay, I really love this section. I'm going to break it down a little. People can't believe without hearing the gospel, right? So Paul is walking us backward through the chain of salvation. So people call on Jesus to be saved, but they can't call on him unless they believe. They can't believe unless they hear. And they won't hear unless someone shares the message. So, big idea. Salvation doesn't happen by accident, right? People need to hear about Jesus and someone needs to tell them. So, simple response, right? Who are you going to tell? Who are you going to invite to church? Who are you going to invite to Connect Group? This Sunday at all locations, we have Easter Jam. It contains a gospel message. Which families, which friends are we going to invite to whatever thing it is, right? I see in the chat, we're on a mission for the Great Commission, right? That's what this is all about, right? We're all on mission, and how are we going to live out that mission, and what are we going to do? So, who are we going to tell? Who are we going to invite? Right. Okay. The second point is here, yeah, we are all sent to share the good news. We're all on mission. Not just preachers. Paul is talking about all believers being sent into the world, whether it's across the world or across the street, but we carry the message of hope. Okay. Now, you don't have to be a preacher to have beautiful feet, just a willing heart to bring good news. Okay, the gospel is beautiful. In verse 15, the quote in verse 15 is from Isaiah 52:7, a celebration of the one who announces peace and salvation. Paul is saying, sharing Jesus is one of the most beautiful things a person can do. God sees the effort of sharing the gospel not as awkward, but beautiful. So, question is, what might be holding you back from sharing the gospel more boldly, more often? How can you take a step of faith this week to share the gospel? So I want to take a little bit of time here to take this word beautiful, because this is an incredible few verses from verse 14 through 15. And especially in that closing line, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So the word beautiful, if we look at the etymology of that word, the word translated as beautiful comes from a Greek word, which is horaios. And the meaning of the word horaios simply means timely, proper for the right season, fitting, attractive or beautiful, but not in the sense of being, it's more delightful or well-timed. It doesn't just mean physically beautiful like we might use today. It carries the idea of something being beautiful because it's right for the moment, like fruit that's ripe or words that are perfectly spoken. So in Romans 10, 15, which says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Paul is saying the feet of those who carry the gospel are beautiful, not because they're clean or elegant, but because they show up right on time with the best news ever. Right? They show up right on time with the best news ever. Okay, so a key insight here is when someone brings the good news of Jesus, it's exactly what the world needs at that moment. And that makes it beautiful in God's eyes. Does it make sense? Okay, so let's look at the rest of this chapter, verses 16 through 21. Okay, so we have a few themes here. So we have God's invitation. We have our human responsibility. And then we also see this reference to the vastness or wideness, excuse me, of the message that has gone out to the whole world. That's in verse 18. So Paul quotes from Psalm 19:4, saying that, emphasizing that the gospel has been proclaimed widely and the message of salvation is universal and accessible. It has gone to all nations. Okay, so what we see in the beginning of this chapter is Israel's rejection of the gospel is a sad reality, right? It highlights the global reach of God's mercy. The gospel is not just for one people group, but it's for everyone, right? So the gospel is for everyone. God's plan involves the Gentiles, that's verses 19 and 20. Paul quotes Moses and Isaiah to show that God has already planned for the Gentiles to be included in his salvation. And the rejection of Israel is part of God's sovereign plan to make the Gentiles jealous and draw them to himself. So, we see God's mercy is extended to the Gentiles and all who are outside the Jewish covenant. His salvation is for all people, not just one nation. Okay, so we see that God continually extends his hands to Israel, offering them salvation, right? As we look through these verses and chapters, but they've been disobedient, obstinate, and we see the sadness of Israel's ongoing refusal to embrace God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. But the application here is God is patient, God has mercy, and we see that through his repeated attempts to draw people to himself. Even when they reject him, God never gives up on his invitation. So what does that mean? We should never give up on our invitation, right? Because God never gives up. Okay, so let's summarize. We've gone through a lot here. This has been I love this chapter. So here we go, a bit of a summary. So not all will accept the gospel, right? So recognize the sad reality of rejection, but in that, keep sharing the gospel anyway, because everyone deserves to hear the good news. Okay, second point of my summary. Faith comes from hearing the word, right? We should proclaim the message of Christ with urgency. Faith is birthed through hearing the gospel, and we are the messengers. Okay, the message, point three, the message is for the whole world. God's salvation plan is inclusive, so we should be intentional about reaching those from all backgrounds, not just those who are like us. Okay. Four, God's grace is for everyone. Well, that's part of three. Gospel is for all people. And then the last one is God's mercy remains. We must reflect that same mercy and patience in how we share his love with others. So here's my final challenge to you today. What action is Paul calling me and you to today? Is it to pray for someone? Is it to invite someone? Is it to include someone? Is it to show mercy to someone? So, how will you have beautiful feet today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've done this incredible thing through your incredible love for us, through sending Jesus to become a man, live amongst us, and then die and be resurrected. And because of that, Father, we have received righteousness, Father, not through our works, but through faith. Father, we have been justified through Jesus's acts on the cross. And Father, through salvation, we can now live a life where we grow in that process of sanctification to become more like Jesus. Father, thank you for this incredible gift. Father, would you help us today to be your hands and feet, to have beautiful feet? Father, that we would make your name known, that we would invite, that we would tell others, that we would be bold, that we would have courage, that we would pray for those who don't know you. And Father, that your Holy Spirit today would just prompt us, give us names, people that we should invite, people we should bring to Easter Jam, to service on Sunday, to Easter services, Father, that we would be the ones who are agents of change, and that as you draw all men to yourself, Father, we would be a part of that process. So, Father, I pray for courage for each one today. I pray that each one listening would have beautiful feet today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.